we desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like for everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
It's all good, babe.
So like I was saying earlier, so May is recommitment. Reunited.
And it feels so good.
But yeah, so like I was saying, I did, if you are, you know, in the group, I did post three articles. And one article was three reasons men leave women they love. And then I post two articles about reasons why women leave relationships. And the only reason why I posted two for the woman is because I didn't feel like the first article I post was there all the way. And I decided to, you know, let me put the second article that, you know, better explains, you know.
Right. What you're trying to get out?
Yeah, I just think it was better. It was from one of the marriage websites and things. And again, this is not for just married people. This people in relationships, seeking relationships, however.
Right.
But yeah, one thing that I wanted to talk about before we dive into those articles is the word recommitment. Now, Jonathan and I, this July, will be married for 14 years. And recommitting our marriage is something that we have been wanting to do
right
for years.
Yes.
So when we got married, you know, we really just, you know, we were 18 and 19. I'm pretty sure y'all heard that story plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
But we never had an actual wedding. You know, we didn't write our own vows or anything. It was literally, we got married in our apartment in Peppertree, Suzanne Drive, and we paid for a notary or the lady to marry us for $75, I think.
It was No. It was $25 for the marriage certificate and then $50 for her fee.
You sure? Positive. I thought the marriage license was like 15 or something. Mm-hmm. But anyways, whatever we paid or whatever, and we always said, well, at 5 years, we'll, you know, rededicate our marriage and recommit and all that stuff. Didn't happen.
Nope.
Then we said at 7 years, you know, seven is number of completion. If we make it that far, whatever, boom. Then we said, you know, we'll wait for 10 years. At 10 years, we would do it. But 10 year was one of the most trying times of our marriage. Didn't happen. And, you know, now that we're going up on 14 years, well, after the 10 year, we were saying that we was going to do a sweet 16, and
which is still a possibility.
still a possibility. So we were saying that we would do a sweet 16, you know, this year is year 14, so we got to start planning if we're going to do it now, like venue and stuff, because everybody get married and book up everything so fast. So we was going to recommit then. And recommitting is actually something that's really important to you. Why?
Because I feel like you get to a point in your relationship where you after you come over the hurdle of trying to figure out if this is something you want to do, you've been through your trials, you've been through some tribulations, and you come to a milestone where you say, you know what, I'm in this for the long haul. I know why I married this person, and I just want to make it public again to our family, our friends, and even to myself and ourselves, that this is something that we chose. We're in it and we're going for the long haul. Sometimes when you are in a relationship, love can get lost in translation, and it is okay to love gets lost in translation, like I was saying, and you need a kind of, you know, reintroduction to your mate, a reignition you know, a spark, a reaffirmation of your love.
But why does it have to be public?
Well, I think it has to be public. One, so that everyone else would know who you're in a relationship with. So nobody try nothing. And number two, for accountability.
I like that you said accountability. Yeah, that's and what for I was thinking too. Because we recommit, I think, personally all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, making up, when we have our, our arguments, our real ones,
Yeah.
And things like that. And we recommit and we say those reaffirming things to one another.
Yeah.
But just the importance of it being public.
Public, yeah.
It's like, I like how you said accountability.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I like
that. Because you think about it. It's like, I've heard people say, well, you don't need to be in a relationship because everybody else expects you for you to stay in the relationship. Well, you think about it. You get married and the people say you get married, or the preacher says, in the sight of God and family and friends. Right. That's where you're getting married. There's a reason why there's so many people that are witnessing this union.
Yeah.
And it's because of accountability. It's because of respect. And it also is for inspiration. Let's not get it twisted. We can look at someone else's love story and become inspired.
That is facts.
You know, so when someone says you shouldn't be in a relationship for other people because they're not in it and they don't know what it is, well, that's technically why, one of the reasons for why you got into the relationship in the first place.
I like that perspective.
You know, it's for people to be able to glean off of your experiences and glean off of your love and glean off of your life. You know, it gives them hope. It gives them a reason to believe that love even still exists. So, yeah, if you are unselfishly in this relationship and you are looking at the relationship through a broader lens, then you are committed in a relationship for one of the reasons for other people being able to see your love, respect your love, glean from your love, learn from your love, and aspire to get their own love like yours.
I like that you said it. Yeah. I like that you used the word accountability rings with me.
Mm-hmm.
Hope and inspiration. And yeah. I get inspired, and that may sound weird, by when people get engaged, when I see couples happy online, or when I'm, at somebody's, wedding or whatever. I'm already married and I feel some type of way, and I, want to be celebratory towards them.
Yeah.
and happy for them. And actually, Matthew McCormick just came on. Hi, Matthew.
What's up, brother?
Your marriage is one of the marriages that when I see y'all post on Facebook,
it make me feel great.
I be like, that Katrina?
That Katrina?
she was right.
Very
and
adamant.
I just remember how she knew you were hers. And I was like, how can she just know that? And Katrina was like, hard. I just know. She was like, I know. And when I see y'all with y'all children and when y'all post, and I'd be like, they really together.
They really together. That thing really happened.
Like that. And that is inspiring.
It's wonderful to
see her hope and long and to see that fulfilled. Another couple that does that for me is Ebony.
Yes.
Ebony and Broderick.
Yes.
Oh my God. Like,
when they were
dating, and it was like, oh, I don't think nobody else was
happening. We told Broderick, it's like, you are the perfect person, and we can't see Ebony with anybody else.
Oh my God.
But you. It's like you were built for her.
And I'm like, and then when I see them, it's like, they really, so, and again, we've been married before these couples that we mentioned, but we still get inspired by their walk, their testimony, what they went through, and just things like that. So it is. So I liked how you saying for accountability, and it inspires, and not just people that going to be married, but people that are married.
So that love is still real.
Matthew, give thumbs up.
And love still exists.
Yes.
You know. So I mean, I know that it's
We give you hope. Oh, that's so sweet.
To be in a relationship and to commit. Yeah, you have to make sure that you're in it for yourself.
Yeah.
And you're in it for the love that you are trying to build and establish with your partner. Yes, absolutely. But that can't be the only reason why you stay in the relationship and why you find a reason to recommit to the relationship. Me and Eva ask this question all the time: is love really enough? Mm. You know, you gotta think about it. You know, we didn't name this podcast Love, Life, Legacy for a reason. You know, love is a facet, and it was the first thing that brought us together. But then comes the next transition, which is life, where you start to build a life with your partner.
Yeah.
Right. And in you building life, you know, you have your different seasons and your different transitions. And then those transitions help you to broaden the lens to see why you really are, or another reason why you really are in it. And then you realize and focus on legacy and building that. And then, you know, in the second phase, you really start to see why you're in it. And I'll repeat myself. And then legacy comes to after that. But dang, I'm losing my thought. Help me.
You're doing good.
I was reading and I got tracked up.
But the fact is that, you know, love isn't enough. And yes. You have to build upon that to doing life together and to building a legacy together.
I'm back on track now. Okay, gotcha. Thank you. So, when those phases come, love, life, and legacy, you recommitting at that point later down the line, you are recommitting for more than just love. And yeah, those reasons are okay. It can be your children. It can be your family. It can be how you inspire other, how you aspire to continue to grow in love. There's so many reasons for why you can really find reasons to recommit. And I don't like it when people make it only about the individuals for why they need to stay there and nothing else should matter. You shouldn't stay in a relationship and recommit for your children. You shouldn't stay in a relationship and recommit for the house that you built and the family that you built, because all those things are subsidiaries to the main thing of love. You absolutely they are, but they work together. So if two people can find reason to stay in that relationship and then find reason to recommit, and all of those, the love and the subsidiaries, come together, and that's the reason for why they do it, by all means, kudos.
I agree.
Yeah, but don't make people feel bad if they say, well, if they're asked, well, why don't you just leave? You guys are in a bad spot. You guys have been in a bad spot. Why are you still there? And their response is, well, we have a family. Well, that's not a reason for you to stay. No, that is a very
somebody told me that. Reason. Because in a moment of transparency, which we're always transparent, but during one of Jonathan and I's rough patches, you know, one of my reasons for staying was because of the kids and because of the family. And I was trying to get that person to understand, as even though I'm like done with him at the moment, that I had to find something to give me hope until I got back to that fuzzy feeling of love, until we got back to a certain place. And I think sometimes, I'm not saying that for everybody, because some people are in really bad situations. Right. I'm not talking about those. I'm just talking about, you know, normal relationship stuff. I'm not talking about anything dramatic, drama, fighting. I mean, like physical abuse. I'm not talking about anything like that. But my kids, and looking at all the positive other things that we had going on, help me get to the next level of love I needed for him. Right. And I think
that's good,
because some people focus on, oh, I'm so mad at him. He's just one aspect of my whole life.
There we go.
But even though he's one aspect of it, he's such a big enough puzzle that pulling him out of it would crush so much other things. So I have to, you know, weigh something out in my mind, like, you know, how much are you worth to me?
Right.
Like, so I'm mad at you, but I'm gonna keep your puzzle piece here until we can get things together, because a relationship is business. Yeah. And that's a part of dealing with, you know, building a legacy and building a life together. It's like, okay, because we have this investment in one another, we have shared assets, we have whatever. And at the end of the day, removing you,
right,
I would have to deal with other repercussions that argument wasn't worth.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Me being upset or us not seeing eye to eye at the moment isn't worth it, you know, unless you do something to make it worth it.
You do have to count the cost.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And we're again, we're not saying that this fits everybody.
It doesn't.
And we're not saying to look past, because you have to clarify things. Because people will say, well, what about?
Okay, so here's the clarification.
We're not talking about you in an abusive relationship or multiple infidelity situations or, you know, immaturing or being immature and not maturing past certain points, money problems. We're not talking about all those things, right? Some people have their threshold and their breaking points, and once you get to that point, it's
so
no.
So let me
back.
Be more clear. So yeah. Our situation was that we felt as though we were growing apart.
Yeah.
You know, and we.
And that is a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. And when we felt like we were growing apart, because we grew up together, literally being married so young, we had to always understand that each other is always is moving and evolving.
Yeah.
So sometimes, because I don't like change, Jonathan is actually more flexible to change than I am.
They call me Big Flexi. Hey.
And I am, some people will say, you know, I'm afraid. I don't think it's so much as fear as it's so much that I'm comfortable. You know, I could be, I don't know, I'm just comfortable. I don't like
Well, it's a part of your build.
Yeah, if I'm changing, I'm cool with it. That means I done process it, I done did my little steps, and I'm working towards it. And he sees when that happened, when mm-hmm. I'm transitioning. It's not ever something abrupt, but he can change abruptly, and I can't. I'm like, we was just here yesterday, like like, did you really think this through? You really think that way now? And that's hard for me. And so, because I feel like my world is upside down because something isn't the same anymore, it takes me a little longer to come around. So that's why, for me, I can't make emotional decisions. And if you are in my circle, or if I have talked to you a lot before, you have heard me, you always hear me say things like this: I can't let my emotions take me somewhere I don't want to go, because right. I am very emotional, and I've just, I get off track. So that's why, for me,
you're emotional.
I know I can't let Jonathan changing and evolving push me in this place and I want to leave him, you know. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. But yeah, so going back to the topic, recommitment. You have something.
No, it's fine.
And for those that you just joined, so May is the month of recommitment.
Recommitment.
That way, say National Recommitment. Okay. So, three reasons men leave women they love. Okay, so I'm gonna let Jonathan really talk this one out, because, you know, I see what they're saying, but I feel like I have the answers to it. You know, me being a woman and all.
Feet, women, y'all always have the answers.
But the top three reasons are: men feel emotionally overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
The second, he feels that us women are trying to fix him.
Mm-hmm.
And he fears losing his freedom is the top three reasons why men leave or fail to commit. And I get it, but I wouldn't mind if you expound on reasons why men leave relationships with women they actually love, though.
Absolutely.
But why would you leave something you love for those reasons?
The same reason why men would pay for to have their hairline recommitted to their head, the same reason why men will go out and buy an expensive sports car in their late 40s, or buy a motorcycle when they hit a midlife crisis, you know, or appear to be younger than what they really are, because they're trying to hold on to something within them, something that they feel like they lost, which is a step. You know, testosterone is a real thing, and because women are built differently, and you guys don't produce testosterone like men, you guys will never understand what it means or what it feels like to give up of yourself, your manhood, your masculinity, and then to invite in this emotional willingness from the other person. And then you have to also be emotional with this person, which means you have to be vulnerable, and you have to be respecting, and then you have to talk, and then you have to do all this other stuff that you really don't want to do and are forcing yourself to do because you love that person. And then you say, man, I'm losing myself. Right. And then you leave. So
even
I
though
get
you
it,
love
them. Even though you love them. Like, for example, you guys go through it, but y'all loyalty is a lot higher than ours. Women get to a point in a relationship where they feel like they lose themselves, and they reclaim it by starting a business venture, or, you know, joining a book club.
But
or
we stay.
Y'all stay because you guys' level of loyalty are a lot higher than ours. Not saying that we can't be loyal, but you guys are, you know, you built to be a little bit more loyal.
So y'all are more selfish.
Yeah, to ourselves, to a degree, yes. Mm. You
just
know, right,
put that out there.
Right, you're right, because to the first point of being emotionally overwhelmed, you're telling us to go into a realm that we were not built to be in, but will willingly put ourselves in for the person that we love and want to build a life with. And men, honestly, growing up, are not trained to be emotional, because society will not allow us to be emotional, because we'll be marked a punk. So we never have been trained in the art of being emotional and vulnerable. And we get into this relationship with this woman, and now she's expecting this vulnerable, emotional.
But love calls for vulnerability.
It does, but men are not trained to be that. It's like how we had a conversation with our son, John John, you know, about his sister's baby doll.
Okay, yeah.
Right? His sister loves to play with baby dolls. And then Eva saw John John not playing with the baby doll, but either holding it.
No, he was wanting to push the baby in the stroller.
He wanted to push the baby in the stroller. And by default, because of how society looks at young men playing with, you know, baby dolls, what'd you say?
Boy, stop pushing that baby.
Big facts, bruh.
But then I caught myself.
Bruh.
I'm like.
No. It was something he said that made you catch yourself. What did our son look back and say to you?
About you, right?
No. He said, but it's just a baby doll.
Yeah, he said it's just a baby.
It's just a baby. In his mind, because he's six, he can't differentiate the feminine of what society sees him as playing with that baby doll and the masculine of what we say a man is supposed to do and not playing with a baby doll. So in his mind, it's just a baby. I said to Eva, he got a point.
Yeah, and I told him he had a point. And I said, you're right, because daddy pushes the baby in the stroller.
He seen me push Elena around, his sister, as a baby. He's seen me hold babies, our relatives, our friends' babies, kiss babies, play with babies. And our son mimics everything that I do, which rightfully so he should. And that was a teachable moment for me, because one day we hope that he becomes a father. Where is his training coming from? And when do we start?
It's just me seeing it. It training. Was hard because my son is pushing his. I mean,
I get it. Now, we're not talking about going excessive with it.
No.
Right? But guiding him in the art of being emotionally available.
That's true.
Because he has to be tooled in this. How do you hold a baby, carry a baby, push a baby, care for a baby, change a baby? You know, men are never trained, and then all of a sudden they become able to make babies, and then they don't know how to make a baby. And then a woman is yelling at them.
Yeah.
That's what you doing? You don't know what you're doing. And he is so lost.
That's true.
He's so confused. He is emotionally, point one, overwhelmed.
That was a good point using John John, because
he is emotionally overwhelming. He don't know what he's doing. And because you guys are more in tune with your emotions, it's easy for you, and you can't respect the fact that he has never been trained to be emotionally available.
That's true.
You expect for him just to have it. That's strike one.
Yeah.
Right, we're starting to shut down.
Yeah.
Let's go to point two.
Then we try to fix.
And then, right. And then here's point two. He feels like you're trying to fix him.
Yeah.
Right. Rightfully so. Right. All right. Women.
You're trying to help.
You
don't
see
use
a problem.
The word fix.
No. There's a fix, and it's fine. You see a problem. You want to fix it. You see that he doesn't know what he's doing emotionally, and you want to assist him. But it's the way. The assisting.
We make you feel.
Less than.
Yeah.
Or inadequate. And you trample on our masculinity and our manhood. And we feel inadequate. And then we feel like a little boy. And then nobody wants to feel like he is a little boy.
That's true.
You know, you usually say, you ain't my mama. You're not my mama. Who you talking to? You know, or we become so boisterous and wanting to defend our masculinity, we rise up and then here comes an argument. So you see it as helping. He sees it as fixing. He doesn't want to be corrected that way. So he fights back. In your mind, well, I was just trying to help. In his mind, I'm just trying to live.
I get it.
Right? So here, there's strike two. Right? And then we get to strike three. He fears losing his freedom. These, for me, are spot on because I understand it. So you were not trained to be emotional. Women are expecting you to be emotional. Right, and mad
so
that you can't
be.
So is
that the father's fault then, or the mom's fault?
Hold on, let's not go there just yet.
Okay.
He feels like you're trying to fix him, and he doesn't want to be fixed the way you're trying to fix him. And because you're not equipped in how to deal with a man on that level who really hasn't matured into his role as a man, so you berate him and make him feel like a little boy, so he then shuts down even more. Then strike three, he's saying, man, this is too much.
But he loves her.
I'm not right. He loves you. But he is
not enough.
He's not enough, and he feels trapped in a corner. He feels smothered. He feels restricted, and he feels like there's no hope of him doing the right thing. So what does he do? He takes himself out of the equation because he feels like you're better off without him than him being around.
So he will leave a woman he loves.
Facts.
Instead of communicate that.
It's not about communicating, because once he's gotten to the strike three, where he's feel like he's lost his freedom because he can't be who he's been his entire life, and now he has to retrain and reprogram, and as frustrating as it is, he's willing to do it, but he's not equipped with the tools, and he's also being berated by the woman who's requiring this of him, and in all fairness, she's doing the best that she can, but she does not know how to actually build him. So he says, I'm better off leaving, because she'll be better off without me, because I'm holding her back. I'll make the situation worse. I already feel like I lost too much of myself. I'm not getting right. I'm losing grounds. Let me just roll.
To just go to somebody else, another woman that's going to require the same thing?
Well, that's his dumbass.
I mean, us ladies have different levels of requirements, yeah. So I guess.
That's his dumb behind if he does that. But again, when men act out, we act out and it seems like as little boys, and we have temper tantrums, and usually our temper tantrums come out sexually and we end up going in someone else's bed. So yes, you are right. You know, and when a man gets to that point and he acts out in a what do you call it?
Infidelity?
Yeah. It's another way to say it though. And he acts out through infidelity. Let's say that.
Okay.
It's like him having a grown little boy temper tantrum. Just to be honest with you, he's sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he's trying to regain himself as a man. What better way to do that than in the arms or between the legs of another woman?
And that's something us females can never understand.
Yeah, but that's men though.
Because number one, if you love us, why are you going elsewhere? And then to go to another woman, then that makes us feel
absolutely
like something's wrong with us. So to blend this a little bit, reasons why us women leave, they kind of sound like the same, you know, unappreciated, unheard, and unseen. Very simple.
Yeah.
And women are twice as much filing for a divorce as men.
I can see that.
So,
because we know what we want, but then we don't want to give up what we had, like Lucius
from Empire. And that speaks to our relationship again, because I am the one that I used to always bring up the D word, divorce, because every time I felt unappreciated, unheard, and unseen, I'm ready to go deuces. And even though when you felt emotionally overwhelmed, feel like I'm trying to fix you, or fear you losing yourself, you still wanted to stay, and I didn't get that. I'm like, well, just let me out. Like, it's not working between us. I don't understand why you still want to be here. You know, it just, it never made sense to me until I was like reading over both of those articles. And I was like, so he wasn't lying when he said he loved me, even though he really want to leave me. But shoot, I really would leave.
Yes, you would.
So I didn't. So I don't know. Can you make sense of all that?
Oh, I got to give my ears a rest.
Oh,
I can still hear you. But Jesus Christ, my ears too big for these cups, y'all. I'm sorry.
Make sense of blending both of those together. The reasons why us women leave feeling unappreciated, unheard, and unseen. Oh, well, let me give a little preface too, because, okay, I don't get how us women can constantly communicate that we're not being seen, and we're asking for you to see us, and we're asking for men. I'm speaking to you as you're representing all men right now.
Okay.
Okay. We're asking you to see us. We're asking you to hear us. And we're asking to feel appreciated. We go buy a new clothing item for you to see us. Nice little dress. Get our hair fixed. Make a little dinner. Try to spice things up. Some men can be unbothered, or they'll enjoy the evening, but tomorrow, the next day, act like, you know, we just ain't, you know, had a moment. Not hearing what we're saying, not trying to see our perspective, not trying to make our opinion feel valuable. And we're constantly communicating it to you, and how come you still don't hear or respond?
Okay, and at this point, you're saying we already are overwhelmed?
I'm guessing that's what's happening, because us women, because you're not telling us you're tapped out. We just telling you, well, it depends on the type of man.
Okay.
Because, right. You know, if you one of those car fixing husbands that live in your garage all day,
oh, yeah.
You know.
In the garage.
Yeah. So what I'm saying,
I'm outside.
But what I'm saying is outside. You're not communicating to me those things because you're emotionally unavailable naturally anyways. But I am constantly communicating to you that I'm not feeling heard.
Right.
Why don't you fix it as a man? Like, why don't we, if we're both having these problems and I'm telling you that I'm not feeling heard, I don't feel loved by you, I don't feel those things. Why you wait till we say the D word, or if we're not married, until we leave to do something?
Okay. How do I fix it?
Listening to me.
And how do I listen, and how do I hear you?
Doing what I say? I don't know.
I am proving a point there. I hope y'all see where I'm coming from.
If you guys
can require this from us all day long, but cannot give us clarifying answers as to how we meet you guys' demands. And this is why we never feel like we can ever please you guys the way that you're looking to be pleased. Now, I'm not saying that a man can't try harder, but you gotta cut a little slack if you can't even tell me specifically and explicitly what it is that you want.
How did we make it through ours?
I think it's because we're fighting for what we started in the beginning.
You remind me of something.
You remind me of
a... So, I define, as you guys that know me, I like to define words.
Yes, she does.
So, I define the word commitment, and it says to give trust or charge, to pledge to a position. Thought that was good. To bind or obligate. The 10th definition said to send into battle. I was like, why would the word commit, 10th definition, be to send into battle? Because once you start that fight, it's supposed to be you fight to the death of, or you fight to the win of. Right. And there's no in between. It's like you either gonna win or lose.
But you gonna fight.
And you're committed to whatever that outcome is. That's the end. Right. And when I marinated on that definition, to send into battle is like, you know, I just, that thing just did something to me because mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm gonna win and I sure don't want to lose.
But you gonna fight.
But I'm gonna fight there and whatever it lands on, that's just the fate that I have to deal with. And I was like, ooh, yeah. I mean, because honestly, that had to be a resolve for me in our marriage. It's yeah. like, okay, Jonathan made me promise I couldn't say the D word. And for you guys, the D word is divorce. I cannot say that word anymore, because when I said that thing flew out my mouth, it flew out my mouth a lot, right? So I had to be like, okay, I'm in this, I'm committed, and I'm a fight to the end. So rather I'm winning or I'm losing, I have to promise him to fight.
Right.
And that's what he required of me. And when I did that, now I'm going to answer my own question, because I did think this part through.
Go ahead, girlfriend.
Okay. So when I didn't realize that my words was causing him to be emotionally unavailable, and in me damaging him emotionally with my words, you know, and then trying to fix him by saying, listen to me, was not working. And then he feared losing himself because I'm just doing too much and he just can't handle it. But when we reasoned and I found out what I did that triggers him, which is the divorce word, I can't do that. That's just bad.
That puts me in a really, really bad place.
And when I fixed that and he felt safe, then he could hear me. Then he saw me. And then he could appreciate me. So my thing that I like to tell people that are struggling in their relationships is that you both, like Matthew said, with direct communication, have to really just sit down and talk to each other as friends.
Yeah.
As seeing each other for who the other person is. Really don't see them. Don't see them as your spouse. Don't see them as your boyfriend. Don't see them as your girlfriend. See them as a person that's in need on both sides. And how can I help?
Yes. And never deal with them through you should.
And that's hard.
That's hard to, but very hard. You can't do that. Well, you should have known, or well, you should have done, and you can't live your relationship through the should-haves. I know sometimes.
And that's hard for people built like you.
That it is, because my direct response is, you should, because in my mind, if I know to do it, then you should know to do it. And we both do that. But my restrictions that I put, my expectations that I put on people are a lot more weightier than her expectations, because I will judge you harshly if you did not go about it the way that I think you should have went about it, because I would do it that way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll come back for that. She's a lot more gracious than I am. So I can't look at her through the eyes of you should have, because a lot of the things that I think she should have made the mark on or responded to or acted how, she's lost in the why she should have, and really is looking for a reason or an understanding as to why and what am I missing. She has no clue.
None.
Right? But the same could be said on the men's side. That's why neither one should expect the spouse to be judged through the should-haves. Just communicate. Talk to him as a human being. Talk to him as a person. Talk to him from a place of respect. Like, honey, I don't know if I ever explained this or I ever talked to you and communicated to you this, but when you talk to me about little Sally, the daughter, when you talk about our daughter Sally,
uh-huh.
You really make me feel like I'm a little boy and I'm a grown ass man.
Right.
Well, you should act like
yeah.
There we go. And now it's an argument. But if you're listening to him as a human being and as a man, then you would be listening with ears of respect.
Yeah.
And then they would have to do some inward reflection.
Yes.
Right?
Have that internal meeting. Saw,
hear him, and then pivot. Yeah. And then she flips it, and she gives you the reason.
If you got to swallow hard before you talk, just do it. Please. Do it a couple times.
Please do.
Well, honey, I didn't mean it that way, you know. But how would you like me to help you?
Right.
Or do you even need my help? Or, you know, you just have to ask them, how could you be of assistance? And that's another thing that's hard because, you know, we already have in our minds the right way, but it may not be the right way for the other person.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
We got comments?
I think so. Hold on. Tierra says she loved the definition, fight absolutely. Regardless.
What is TT saying?
What going on? I don't know. She probably got the baby.
Oh.
And there's where communication and comprehension come into play. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Comprehension is a serious, I think we make light.
People, let me say it like this. Brother.
What?
That's my dog, right?
Yeah.
But people don't comprehend because they don't want to comprehend. That is my God.
Unless they have something mentally else going on. But
they ain't mental. They just don't want to comprehend. Because they would rather be right than to comprehend.
Touche.
Come on now. We always say, ask the question, is perspective worth fighting for?
Yeah.
Well, your comprehension relies on you widening your perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
And if
true.
You don't widen your perspective, then you'll never learn to comprehend.
And they'll stay narrow.
Mm-hmm. And you'll remain right while you look wrong in everyone else's eyes.
Yeah.
So is it really worth fighting for? No, it's not. Especially if you really care about what that person is trying to get you to comprehend. And 9 times out of 10, you don't, because you're selfish and you want to be right.
Yeah, but to go back to the men. Sorry, I got to harp on the myth for a second.
Go ahead.
So he said, nail it on the head, brother. But still, why leave?
I already told you.
If you love, though, that just baffles me. Okay,
yeah, heard if you love them, you'll leave them?
Yes, because us women do that. If we feel unappreciated, unheard, unseen, we feel like, what's the point of us here anyways? Your attention is somewhere else. So I get that. We leave out of love. I mean, we leave when we love too, because like we already established.
But you're loving
love
the opposite. I'm talking about how you said, if you love the person that's in it,
then
why would you leave?
You're leaving because you're emotionally overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
We're still paying you attention. We're still seeing you. We're still hearing you. What I'm trying to say is, we're leaving because out here ain't right. You're leaving because in here ain't right.
Okay.
And that's the part I don't get. Like, you leaving has much to do more with you than it does me.
So you ever, what if we leave because we're built and programmed to leave? You know, if we are the hunters, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're used to leaving. We're going, and I'm not... This doesn't go hand in hand. I'm just trying to, as a metaphor to bring the point.
I'm following you.
Men are built to leave, to find, conquer, discover.
So because you can't conquer it, you're leaving.
Right. But we're leaving trying to either find and or conquer something else. But we're still trying to hold on to what makes us a man. And because we lost that in the house that we were trying to build with you.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go find it somewhere else.
Okay.
That's all it is. And you guys can't give it to us, even though you want to. You're not equipped to. Again, if you want to, going back to what I said, we can talk about that later. Going back to the root, bringing it back home with our son, Jonathan Jr., it comes from a lack of training.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a man being taught how to respond emotionally, being emotionally available, being equipped with the tools that he needs. That's a necessity in a relationship.
Yeah.
We end up learning how to do relationships in our adult life.
Yeah.
Right?
We did.
But we've had no guidance growing up, young adult, and even as children.
Some guidance.
Some
guidance.
Okay. Some
we
guidance.
Were fortunate in some areas because
some guidance, Family Matters, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, Martin, that type of guidance. I'm talking about real world application.
I mean, for me, I did. I had some guidance.
Not some, but yeah. You were missing a lot of fundamentals. You had okay. Back to what I was saying.
I'm talking about emotionally available.
Yeah, but I'm talking about men here. I'm talking about us, the gender of men.
Oh, I thought you meant us.
Men, we're missing. Y'all. Yeah, we are missing the guidance that was necessary and the training that was necessary in how to do relationships, how to be emotionally available, how to be responsible, how to be responsive to our mate in a relationship,
yeah.
How not to retreat when it gets hard, how you're going to be challenged. How when you're challenged to rise up to the occasion and not to retreat.
Yeah.
You know, knowing when to retreat, because retreating is sometimes necessary.
It's necessary in war.
All of these are skills that we miss. And so you guys can't give it to us. We weren't built in given the tools growing up. So what do we do with it? We retreat. We run. Right?
Or, but you disguise it as going hunting.
Yeah. That's what I see. But
I get it.
Again, we can all fix it by identifying it in our youth now and doing what's necessary to close the gap. Against
I am thankful for that legacy. Moment with John John though. Yeah, I'm happy that but listen, I'm happy that he's a very articulate little boy.
Yeah. He is.
And he talks a lot and he is he's
ooh, too much.
He just sucks in all type of information. You can ask him about different types of rocks, dinosaurs, different types of whales, sharks. I mean, he got it. He'll tell you pronouncing it wrong.
Why does this do that? Why does steam come off water that way?
But I'm happy that he was able to tell me instead of just, he taught me something. You know,
because you're open to evolving as a parent.
And when he just said it's just the baby, like, facts. To me, I didn't see it just a baby because how I'm, you know,
listen, peep this. I saw him do it again.
Well, because we already had the discussion because I told him he was right.
No, let me see this. Blah, blah, blah. We were outside.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been enjoying outside like crazy because the weather has been great. I'm sitting under the tree. Him and Elena are bouncing on the trampoline in the backyard. Elena has her baby doll, of course, because she goes everywhere with that thing. So Elena had to leave out of the trampoline for a little while and left her baby doll.
Uh-huh.
And John John had stopped bouncing for a little while. So Elena came in the house. I'm waving to John John. We talking. John John wants to go back and start bouncing on the trampoline. He bounces a couple times, looks down, sees the baby doll, stops bouncing, grabs the baby doll, puts her outside the trampoline on the step, safe. And then goes back to bouncing.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I said, son, you did a great job.
He done get a baby whiplash.
Protecting the baby. But again, look at it through a real world lens.
Yeah, he was protecting the baby.
He was protecting the baby. Because nobody should be bouncing on a trampoline with a small hand baby like that. So, I mean, we get it.
Whiplash.
You know, we have to teach them. We have to train them. We have to give them the tools so that they would know exactly what they're fighting for when they get into a relationship, when they actually love, when they want to recommit with their loved one. They can see them as human beings. They can see them as people. They can respect them because they've been giving the proper tools that they need.
Yeah, man.
You know, so yeah, that's what I have.
I think that was good.
I think that was great.
Oh,
go ahead, girlfriend.
Boyfriend. But yeah, I think that's it. I mean, unless you got something else.
I don't have nothing else, but I'm about to put the music back.
So, to those of y'all that joined us late, we had
it ain't playing.
Yeah, Matthew, man, it is real work because, you know, we just got to be careful with the ideas that we pass along. You know, I don't think it's intentional. I just think it's something that we learn and know or something that we, you know, understand and we just pass it down. And it's the real work is evolving and changing and understanding, and like our other brother said, comprehending what's going on, and just, yeah, hard to reprogram.
It is. You know,
because I can name a few mamas that would have gave my son a two-piece of words. And
not only a two-piece word, but a two-piece to the chest, too.
Yeah, you know, some mothers are that way, too. You know, because we live in, you know, these times that we live in, and, you know, just certain things like that. I won't go too deep, but it is hard to reprogram, but I'm glad it happened because I want to raise my son to be emotionally available, to, you know, not freak out so much when he has his first child, to understand the basics of, you know, of life, and for him to have that perception and to see that baby doll as potentially a real baby, you know.
Right.
I don't want him to be like, you know, holding his first child, can't move, don't know what to do.
Stiff.
You know, his dad wasn't that way. Mm-mm. You know, but I could have unconsciously created that in him.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just glad I didn't.
Rose to the occasion. But I didn't play.
Hey, Michael, we all good. And I don't think we got any comments, but. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it, Matthew?
Yeah,
it's like,
it is hard.
I mean, it you can hard. Speak to that more.
It is hard because every man who is a father has that fear that they don't want their son to turn out to adopt an alternative lifestyle. I'm gonna say it that PC correct way.
Yeah.
Every heterosexual straight father, let's say it that way. That's one of our greatest fears, that our son will not adopt that lifestyle. I'm going to just be 100. And when we see little things that we consider to be tendencies like that, we get scared. It raises a flag. And we go into panic mode, and we want to dispel as much as that as we possibly can, because we're trying to save our son, right? Because of the fear that we have. And we just have to make sure that we're just careful to not to look at what they need emotionally versus what we're trying to keep them from and save them from, because we don't want them to turn out a certain way. Mm-hmm. Because I even teach our son that it is okay to cry. But I also teach him that because we live in a very rude world, in weird, evil world, that he still has to put limitations on his crying. Because
you tell him if he has a reason.
If he has a reason to cry. I told him, this is how I say it. I say, cry when you hurt. That's how I say it. Because if you cry for every little thing, the world's going to coin you as a punk and you're going to get tried. And I don't want my son to have to fight for his manhood every day of his life. You know, my mom wasn't equipped to teach me that. And I was as emotional as my son is right now. And I would cry for everything. And I fought a lot. Because people in my neighborhood, that's a weakness. And you are preyed on if you are viewed as weak. You become prey. And either you're going to learn how to stop crying, or you're going to become real good at fighting. Never stop crying, but I became a really good fighter. So I don't want my son to have to go through that like I did, knowing that the world doesn't change whatsoever. So I have to teach him the balance. I have to.
Yeah, and for my fear, you know, being a mom to a son that's in between all these girls, you know, I don't want him, you know, I just want him to have the healthy balance on all sides.
Right.
You know, I want him to know domestic like things. Like I want him to be able to cook for himself, sew a button on his shirt.
I'm gonna show him all that. I know how to do all that.
Yeah, I want him to be balanced, but I also want him to be emotionally available. I want him to be, you know, not sensitive like too sensitive, but I want him to be able to feel and have compassion for, have a good level of emotional intelligence. To understand, like, ooh, you know, that person's hurt, or ooh, that person's this way, ooh, I'm feeling this way. I want him to have those cues. I don't know. no, I want my son to be right. emotionally available, because after all, that's healthy.
Yeah, and he's going to need that when he gets in a relationship.
Yeah. Because that's the number one reason why y'all leave.
Right.
Emotionally overwhelmed. Like, were you overwhelmed for? Right. Yeah, so I definitely get it.
Right. Yeah.
Yep, you should do, Matthew. Well, I think that's it, you guys.
That's it, y'all.
Thank you for tuning in.
We appreciate and we love y'all.
You gotta come up with beatbox for everything.
But, and this has been the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
Hey.
The Love Life Legacy Podcast.
Hey.
The Love Life Legacy Podcast.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Y'all have a great night.